Good morning, everybody. I wonder if you've been in this conversation before. You know, the Bible has either been referred to or brought up, and the next phrase that you hear goes something like this. Well, that's your interpretation. So you've been in that same conversation that I've been before. And what people are saying at that point is, you know, there's just a bazillion different interpretations to the Bible, and who's to know which one is right or best? So we want to talk a little bit about that. I hope bring some clarity to that today. Before we do that, though, if you have a Bible, would you just take it real quickly? I just want you to get that in your hands. If you need, grab a pew Bible somewhere nearby. Just kind of get the weight of the Bible there in your hand. When we realize that we're holding in our hands the best-selling book of the entire world, that's significant, isn't it? But even more significant is the fact that this book has influenced more people, changed more lives than any other book in the world, maybe more than all of the other books in the world combined. A couple things that we've noted over these past couple of weeks. First one is this, that God has given us the Bible as a gift. His desire is that our lives are blessed by it, which in itself, I mean, that is a very significant understanding to come to. Then we looked at the fact the Bible is trustworthy, it's reliable. You can put it to the test and it is going to pass the test that way. We've learned that the Bible is life-changing. And today, we want to understand that the Bible is just that. The Bible is understandable. You can understand the Bible. And that's a really important encouragement to have if you're going to pick it up and open it and read it that way. Did you know that anybody can read the Bible? Anybody can understand the Bible? Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, you can understand the Bible. Now, if you're a follower of His, there is at least one distinct advantage you'll have, and I'll just kind of, you know, wrap things up toward the end with that. But if you describe yourself today as a skeptic, an unbeliever, agnostic, you know, atheist, and anything in between, you can read the Bible, and in fact, I'd encourage you to do so. You can understand the Bible. You know, it would always be a shame if, you know, you would make a statement such as, well, I just don't believe the Bible, and somebody follows up and says, well, have you read it? And you go like, well, no, I've not read it. I mean, you know, you never want to be painted into that corner, do you? So stretch yourself just by opening up and exposing yourself to that which the Bible says. The goal that we've had in this series called The Word is that we would learn to love the Word, learn the Word, live the Word. Because if you do, you can wear a shirt like this. That's not the reason for the series, you know. But we do have two goals in mind. The first of those two goals is this, to move us from being non-Bible readers to being Bible readers. And if that's the case for you, you're a non-Bible reader, we definitely want to see that movement take place. Now, in order to move from point A, non-Bible reader, to point B, Bible reader, it's going to require what? One thing for sure. You got to have a Bible to be able to do that. Now, you can be hard copy like this. You can be electronic. Let me just check real quickly. How many here are just kind of like, I need to feel it in my hands. I need to be able to turn pages. How many are, you know, hard copy people? Okay, several in here. How many electronic? All right, great. I knew we had a lot of hard copy people because we've been selling a lot of Bibles. We've made the Pew Bibles available for $15 because we just got, you know, brand new Bibles in for the whole church that way. So we ordered, you know, a lot of other cases of that. And a lot of people have grabbed that. So I knew that that was the case. I haven't been surprised either by the number that I've used electronically. Actually, I use both. I use this Bible to do my study preparations for what we're going to be talking about here in the weekends and throughout the week as I, you know, work with people that way. But at home, for my personal Bible reading, I work off my iPad. Now, this actually surprised me. A couple years ago when I downloaded a few versions of the Bible on it, and I started reading it, I'm like, I'm not going to like this. It's not going to work well. And the fact of the matter is, I've just loved it that way. So whichever way you choose to go, hard copy, electronic, on your phone, iPad, computer, you just want to make sure you've got access to that when you want it. Now, the second goal that we have, every bit as significant as the first, is to move us from Bible reader to Bible student. Our goal for you is that you would become a Bible student. Now, to do this, you are going to need a particular tool. It's a technical, it's a very important tool. In fact, you could say that this tool, how many know what it is anyways? Sure, yeah, y'all know this, right? This particular tool is both powerful and dangerous. It is something that has been used to cause chaos, to attack. It's also been used something that's a key agent in healing. I don't know if everybody's ready for this, but I am going to take the risk nonetheless, and I am going to entrust into your power, the power to transfer you from being a Bible reader to a Bible student. Are you ready? Let's have the ushers come right now. When the ushers pass out a bucket, you're going to find something in it that's wrapped up because it's a powerful thing. I want you to take it out. And it's going to look something like this that you see in there. Now, I know for some of you, this is going to be like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with this? Because you're going to see both purple and blue in that same bucket. And it'll be like, it's a decision. Do I want purple? Do I want blue? Do I want purple? Do I want blue? And you're going to be paralyzed. Well, if you see the person next to you paralyzed, just grab the bucket away from them, of which time they will react by grabbing, you know, one of the two that are in there, and you're going to help them out. Now, as soon as you get one of these, I want you to release the power. Now, here's how you're going to do it. You're going to take the pen that's in the package, and you're going to just kind of open it up like this, all right? You're going to release the power. So just take the paper and set it off the side there. No, it's not done yet. You're close. And here's what you do next. Take this button, because you're like, my pen, it doesn't work. No, you have to do something. You have to push this button in like this, all right? And you have just released the power of the pen. Matter of fact, you might want to do that a couple times, because I know you want to anyways, and because I know my audience so well, it's like, might as well get it out of the way, right? Like, okay, yep, works, okay, the power, I can feel the power, right? Now, some of you are already going like, you got to be kidding me, right? I mean, like, talk about overpromise and underdeliver, like, this is the power that's there? Oh, yeah. Do you know that you are holding in your hands the original word processor? And for those of you that are electronic out there, you can translate some of what I'm saying, of course, to a keyboard. But nonetheless, it is this that is going to make the difference in your life. Not just a Bible learner to Bible student, but to that of being able to retain that which you're reading as well. Let me just ask you. If you read something today, how much of it will you remember come, say, Wednesday? Yo, you betcha, yeah. Reading by itself, retention is what? High or low? Oh, yeah, it's low retention. Statistics tell us that. It's just like that is just one of those facts of life that way. But if you would take this pen, and as you're reading, you either circle something, you underline something, you write a note in the margin, or you have a notepad beside you, and you write something down, what's going to happen to your retention level, up or down? Oh, significantly going to climb, isn't it? In fact, that same thing I said earlier, what you read today, make a note of, on Wednesday, you will remember what it is that you read. You'll remember the big idea of that. That's how important it is that you use what it is you've got here, as well as having a great reminder. The Word. Love the Word. Learn the Word. Live the Word. That's a great reminder, isn't it? Now, if you have your handout sheet, I want you to take that out right now, please. Grab that. If you didn't get one, just take the persons next to you because you're going to need it more than they are right now. And what I want you to do, we're going to put this on the screen, but I want, as we read James 1:25, it's right here on your handout, I want you just to make either a circle or an underline, anything that may just kind of stand out to you as we read it, okay? So we're going to read it together. So if you would, we're going to start with the truly happy people. You can read it from your paper, you can read it from the screen, but with your pen in hand, read with me now. Ready? But the truly happy people are those who carefully study God's perfect law that makes people free, and they continue to study it. They do not forget what they heard, but they obey what God's teaching says. Those who do this will be made... Exactly. Now, Just take a moment and say, what was one thing that was significant? Now, you may have chose to underline truly happy people, or you may have circled carefully study, or they continue to study. It says, they that obey will be made. I mean, whatever it is that you do there, by making those notations, what's being written there sinks a little bit deeper into you. Now, this is something that we encourage you to do with your Bible. Did you know? Did you know that it's okay with God if we write in the Bible? How many knew that? Yeah, you just like, I know some of you are unconvinced, right? You know, you will never catch me writing in the Bible, right? Remember the first time I ever saw it done in my presence. I was sitting down with the person. They were actually explaining the gospel to me. And they had a blank page in their Bible, and they took a pen. They said, guy, you know, this is what it is that, you know, God wants us to understand. And I remember he started to write in the Bible. And when he did, I was freaking out. I'm just kind of like, you can't do that. And I'm like, you know, hyperventilating with this. Now, he looked over and he saw the terror that was in my eyes, you know, at that point. He's like, hey, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. He goes, it's just a blank page there. And I'm just kind of like, I don't believe, you know, I didn't think I believed the Bible or anything like that, but I knew you didn't write in it, right? So he finished drawing it out. It was extremely helpful for me. But what happened next, I will never, ever, ever forget. Before I knew what he was doing or that he was going to do it, he took that page he just written on and did this. He ripped it out and said, here, this is for you. I just, and I fainted. No, I fainted. I'm just kind of like, all right, no way I'm touching that. You know, God is definitely not happy with you. And he explained, no, this is actually a good thing. When you start to write in your Bible is going to take on different significance. It may sound crazy to you right now. I'm going like, just try it. Work with me on this. Now, all the learners that are in here know this. You know it intuitively. If you can ask questions, then your learning increases. If you can't ask questions, your learning really shuts down. The better the question you ask, the better of the understanding of the material and your takeaway, right? We all understand that. So I want to share with you today four questions. Four questions for Bible study. Four questions for Bible understanding. Four questions that move you from being Bible readers to being Bible students. Are you ready? I'd encourage you to write them down. The first one is this. What does it say? Now, this is the question about observation. What is it that I read? And I'm just thinking through. What is it that I have just read? Question number two. What does it mean? This is the question of interpretation. Remember, this is that kind of that heart of the matter, the one thing we want to, you know, get some clarity on right now. Very important notation. I'll give it to you as an insight. Rarely. Say that with me, would you? Rarely. Rarely does the Bible need any interpretation at all. Does that surprise anybody here? Rarely. And in the rare occasions it does, it affects no major doctrine, no significant truth or teaching of the Bible whatsoever. In essence, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. This is great truth. The Bible has one interpretation. That is, every passage or truth in there has one interpretation and many applications. Let's say that together. The Bible has one interpretation with many applications, right? How many interpretations the Bible have? Hold up that number of fingers. One, right? One. And how many applications? You just go like, it's got forever. As I said, the Bible means what it says and it says what it means. For those that try to twist the meaning, that try to manipulate the Bible to get it to say what it wants it to say, you know, kind of turning in knots and things like that, we call that a cult. Those that, you know, think there's secrets of the Bible that they understand that nobody else understands, you know, if you see a show like that, if you hear somebody talking about that, I mean, turn the channel or run the other way that way. Now, of course, when you read the Bible, you want to read it with literary understanding. In other words, you don't call a parable an eyewitness account, right? If there's a literary device in there, you simply acknowledge it. Let me just give you a couple examples. I mentioned a parable. Jesus told stories to teach a specific truth. That's what a parable is. It's a story to teach a lesson. One story, one lesson. The Bible uses those, you know, quite a bit, and it's very clear that this is a parable. Jesus loved to use parables because of the power of them. He also, though, used, and this is really, you know, a significant metaphor. A metaphor is a figure of speech. You know, we understand that it is figure of speech. You know, if we say, like, you're pulling my leg, we know what we're talking about. When the Bible says, you know, the word of God is seed, doesn't mean you take your Bible, you dig a hole, you put it in it, you cover it, and you water it, right? I mean, if you did that, what's going to happen? Does anybody expect it to grow? No, I mean, you're like, I know it's not saying it's seed that way, but it's, you know, it's seed what's God's going to do in us that way. You know, I understand that. The kingdom of heaven, the Bible says, it's like leaven, means yeast. And you go like, the kingdom of heaven's like yeast. Like, what's that about? But if you've ever used yeast, you know exactly what it is. You take a little yeast, you put it into a bowl of dough, and what happens? It infects the whole thing, right? You know, the whole thing is, you know, impacted by the yeast. It's a metaphor, and metaphors, again, are very, very clear to us. Sometimes the Bible uses hyperbole. It means over-the-top statements. Jesus loved to use over-the-top statements to drive home a point. In other words, this is really, really important, and he'd say something like this. If your right hand offends you, then cut it off. Now, you're going like, so does Jesus want me to go chop my hand off? You know, if I got problems with this? Well, let me ask you a question. How many hands did the disciples have? Yeah, they all had two, right? I mean, they all throughout the church age, everybody had that. We know the Bible says, don't disfigure your body. So we know Jesus wasn't saying, I want you to go cutting off your hands. He says, but I do want you to pay special importance to this truth that I'm talking to you about. And the last one that's used at times are what would be referred to as euphemisms or idioms, not to be confused with idiots, right? A euphemism or an idiom is unique expression. It's a way, you know, unique putting together of words. Anybody in here, English is your second language? Anybody in here, English is your second language? Okay. I mean, those in here understand this, and they'll be able to, you know, testify to it. One of the hardest things to get in learning English are the idioms. You know, the way that these words can be put together. Because if you just put them together, you know, they just don't make what you would think that word put together, common sense, would be. Example. When the Bible says, Adam knew Eve and she conceived. Okay, it wasn't that God goes, Adam, this is Eve. Eve, this is Adam. Now Adam, you know, so you know Eve. And next thing you know, Eve's pregnant. Right? That's not what it means. When the Bible says Adam knew Eve, it means what? Right, however you're going to put it together. You know, made love, had sex, I mean, but you understand that's what's being said. When the Bible says, those who have fallen asleep in Christ. How many think this is talking about people in church? Yeah, of course not, right? Do you know what that phrase means? Those that fall asleep in Christ are those who are Christians that are what? Yeah, they're dead. They've died. And so it uses this euphemism to say, here's about people that have died. Which means this, if you fall asleep in church, you'll probably die. So just saying right there, right? Okay, so you realize, you know, common literary sense or common literary devices. But remember this. God gave us the Bible not to conceal truth. He gave us the Bible to reveal it. He didn't give us the Bible for hidden truth, mysteries that are there. He gave it to us so that we would know truth and truth would impact us. Truth would be able to set us free. That's why we made the commitment here we have at Fox River. We will not edit the Bible, even though we want to at times, right? Edit the Bible means we're not going to add to it. We don't think the Bible goes far enough. We think the Bible should say some things that it just didn't go far enough in saying. We will not add to it, nor will we take away from it. Can anybody think of something in the Bible you wish wasn't there? That's a loaded question, isn't it? But I mean, sure, there's things that are just like, oh, I wish that wasn't in the Bible. I wish I didn't know that. Well, we're not going to edit it out. We're just going to say, we got to deal with this. This is here. This is what God's told us in the Bible. We got to deal with it. Or the Bible doesn't say this, and so we're not going to put words into God's mouth for him. That's a commitment we make. Because we're going to let the Bible say what it says. How many interpretations? One. How many applications? Many. Yeah. And what we mean by that is this. Any single truth has numerous ways that it's going to impact our lives. Example, the golden rule. Jesus said, do to others what you would like others to do to you. Okay? Now, what's that mean? What's the interpretation of that? It's this. Do to others what you would like others to do to you. That's what it means. That's what it says. That's what it means. One interpretation. Doesn't mean anything other than that. But what are the applications of doing to somebody else what you would want somebody else to do to you if your roles were reversed? Oh, like, well, what if you're in your teens or your 20s or your 40s or your 70s? Or what if you're the owner of a company? Or what if you're the worker in a company? What if you're American or what if you're Kenyan? Same truth, but think about these different meanings. For us at Fox River, do to another what we would like for another to do to us if our roles were reversed. Every December here, we do My Gift for Jesus. We raise tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in which we give to be able to feed kids, clothe kids, educate kids, give medical attention to those that can't get it on their own. They wouldn't be able to if we didn't step in to help them that way. That's doing for them what we would wish somebody do for us if that was our need. But think about that same verse for the Kenyan child. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. You probably don't know this, but many of the children that we have in our schools will take the food that they get at lunch, and they'll take half of their food and they'll scrape it into a napkin and kind of tie it up and take it home with them. Do you know why they do that? It's not so they can eat it later. It's so that someone else in their family is going to be able to have some of this blessing that they've gotten their life that way. One interpretation, many applications. Third question you want to be able to ask is this. What do other verses, or what do other passages say about this? Now, this gets you into a little bit of advanced Bible study, or as a Bible student. But what you want to remember is this. The best commentary in the Bible is the Bible. Every truth in the Bible has to stand the test of the truths in the Bible. How many of us have heard it sometime in our life? The Bible is filled with contradictions. Anybody? All of us, right? The Bible's filled. Well, what do you say to that? You can either say, well, let's just, you know, can you show me some of them? To which most conversations come to a screeching halt at that point. Because the Bible isn't filled with contradictions. In fact, the Bible doesn't have contradictions. And when you come to a passage that you find difficult, you go to other passages because every interpretation has to stand the test of the rest of the Bible. Now, there's sometimes that the Bible's going to give us this part of the truth here and a different part of the truth right there. Well, those, that, you know, you definitely need to be combining them so you get the whole picture, the whole truth there. But it's not going to say, you know, Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is not the Son of God. It never brings those contradictions to the table that way at all. Fourth question. First, what does it say? Second, what does it mean? Third, what other passages say about this? And fourth, what do I do with this? Now, I'm not going to say this is the most important question, but it is a critical question. Because James says, don't be hearers of the word, doers only, James 1:22, lest you're self-deceived. Now, you go like, wow, what is that all about? Self-deceived. Sometimes we deceive ourselves thinking if we read the Bible, God's happy with us, right? If we know what the Bible says, that means we believe it. Or if we know what the Bible says, it means we've been impacted by it. Well, that's not true, is it? How many of you have ever read a book on medicine? You a doctor? You ever read a mechanics book that make you how about this? How many here have ever read a cookbook? All right, did that make you, reading that cookbook, that make you a great cook? Yeah, I'm seeing sympathy pats going on. It's okay, right? Reading doesn't do anything, but if you take it, apply it, work on it, well, that's a whole different story, isn't it? And that's what the application does for us. What do I need to do with this? Now, I mentioned earlier that if you're a Christian, there is an advantage that you'll have that a non-Christian doesn't have yet. And that is that the Holy Spirit of God will give you or help you through what's called illumination. Jesus put it this way. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Illumination, don't let the word throw you. It just means to bring light to, you know, to give understanding, you know, to cast light onto that way. Two ways the Holy Spirit would do it, most common. One is affirmation, two, application. You know, it affirms when you're reading it. This is what you need. This is what will help you. But more so that application. Now, in a minute, I'll ask you if you've ever experienced this. But you're following your Bible reading plan, and it's like you're reading exactly what you need for what it is you're facing in life right now. How many of that's ever happened to you? Yeah, like, I mean, it happens, you know, people are going to say when they become Bible readers, like, it was amazing, it was incredible. What a coincidence, just what I needed, it was right there what I read. Now remember, one interpretation, many applications. The fact of the matter is this. That when we're reading the Bible, wherever you're reading the Bible, the Holy Spirit can give you, help you with what it is that you're facing in your life. It's one of the reasons Psalm 119, verse 18, gives us this prayer. Psalm 119 itself is a whole psalm about the Bible, about the Word, every verse in it. But read this with me right now, would you? Ready? Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, isn't that a great prayer before you do Bible reading? But it's a prayer that I want you to pray right now. One more time, everybody. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Now, I got a question for you. Can you do it? Can you do this? Can you be a Bible student knowing what you know? Now, it's one thing just to go like, oh, yeah, I can do that. But thinking to yourself, I can't do that. I'm not a Bible student that way. So let's just test it, can we? Just take us about this much time to be able to do that. Here's what I want us to do. If you got a handout again, grab it. You're going to need this. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13. Now, if you want to use your Bible, you could use your Bible right now, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. But because I'm going to encourage you to mark or read, you might not want to use your Bible. You might want to use the practice sheet here because it says the exact same thing your Bible does. And work with me. Now, we're going to read it. I'm going to actually read it. But as I read it, here's what I want you to do. Here's your assignment. I just want you to circle or underline something that seems significant to you. No right, wrong answers. That's what you're going to do. You're going to underline or circle something that seems significant to you. Ready? As I read. Got your pen in hand? Love is patient. Love is kind. It, that means love. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Okay, you got something? Just circle or underline one thing that you found significant. Maybe you just circled love is. Or love is and then it. If you did that, you got 11 circles on your paper right here. Now here's what I want you to make for an observation. I just want you to take 15 seconds and write down one thing that would be a takeaway for you. What's one takeaway? Maybe you're writing down, love isn't a feeling, but it's all about this action. Or maybe you write down, love is not easily angered. That'd be good. Love always trusts. Love keeps no record. You just get that, okay? 15 seconds is up. So you got something on your paper. Or mentally, you've got something under this observation. Now, I want you to take 15 more seconds and write one thing to do with what it is the Bible has just told you. Maybe you're going to write, need to stop being angry. Need to stop keeping records of wrong. Need to be more, whatever it is for you, just write that down. Okay. Does everybody have something? In less than 3 minutes, we have read the Bible, we have written an observation, we have written an application. We have become Bible students. That is, we have pens in hands, right? You can do this. It's amazing, isn't it? In fact, I want everybody, raise your right hand right now. Raise it. I know some of you are scared to. Don't know what I'm going to do. Chickens. Raise that right hand up. I deputize you. All right, put it down. All right. You now have all been deputized, because I have the power to be able to do this. You have all been deputized as Bible study leaders. And you can tell somebody, I'm a deputized Bible study leader right now. You're like, how am I going to lead a Bible study? Take a passage of the Bible and ask 4 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What do the other scriptures say about it? What do I need to do with it? If you'll do that, you'll be a good Bible study leader. You'll be a good Bible study participant. One of the objections that we first put out there, we really don't think through it, but we put out there is like, I can't study the Bible. I don't have time. How long would it take you to study the Bible each day? With a pen? If you would give yourself 15 minutes, you would have ample time. Could you spend more? Of course. But if you give yourself 15 minutes, you would be able to read a chapter in the Bible, write out an observation, an application, and you'll do it in less than 15 minutes. And if you don't have 15 minutes to do that, then you are too busy. You will need a plan. Not only do you need a Bible, but you need a plan, because otherwise the whole random thing just shuts us down. If you've been with us for a few weeks, we've encouraged you, hey, join us in our plan right now, the adventure of reading the 50 key passages of the Old Testament. Kind of give us the big picture that way. Because it is as challenging as it is, we really encourage you to get into a group for what the group had to offer. And if you're not in one, you can still come to Wednesday. Or if you're reading it on your own, make available to you. Same thing we're using in our groups, this little booklet we put together, which just has the passage, the reading of the day, and then observation, application. Because if you just make one sentence in each, don't do more, one sentence in each, I guarantee you it becomes a much more meaningful adventure to you. Cost us $3, yours for $3, pick it up table if you want one. Now for some, if you're just moving from non-reader to reader, you may be going, this is like too much for me right now, the whole Old Testament thing. So let me refer you back. I'll opt you out, but opt you into this. Pick up the beginner Bible reading plan that we've got at the Journey Table. They're free, and it's for anybody just starting to read. You'll follow this plan, I guarantee you, within just a short amount of time of doing so, you're going to be like, I can do this. I can understand the Bible. So you got a Bible, a plan, and however you're, you know, a pen, and just something to write down. Observation, application, each day. Guarantee you'd be going like, I can do this. Let me just wrap it up with just a personal, like, hey, this is what's going on in my life. I, every day, for the last longer than I can remember now, have taken some time to read the Bible for myself. Now, it's not my work time. This is just you know, guy's time. I do it before I come in to work here, because otherwise, you know, I can do a lot of study and preparing, but I'm going like, that's different. It's not that it's unimportant, but it's different than just going like, I want to open myself up to what the Bible has to say for me. And again, I do it in usually less than 15 minutes. I'm also involved, one of my goals is being a lifetime learner. I'm always reading 2 or 3 books at any given time. By the grace of God, I'll continue doing that throughout my life. And the reason I tell you that is this. All the books I'm reading, all the help I'm getting from those books, it's different. And if I had to choose from all I'm reading or what I'm getting out of this on this regular basis, the Bible continues to deliver more. It's not because the books I read aren't good, because I'm really selective that way. But the Bible just continues to give, you know, speak into my spirit with what it is that I need. I'm not saying that every time I read the Bible, every day I read the Bible, it's like, wow, that was so good. I mean, sometimes you go like, that was like unsweetened cereal. I'm sure it was good for me, but, you know, just didn't have a lot of buzz to it that way. I was still trying to, you know, write something out, but everyone's like, you know, that just, yeah, like, okay, that was that for the day. Other times, you know, you're going like, ooh, that is, you know, that's really good there. We start out by taking the Bible in our hands. Today, again, you have an opportunity. Hard copy, electronic, whatever it is. God has given to us the Bible to reveal himself, his will, helps for us. You'll never exhaust it, I'll guarantee you that. But in order for this to become profitable, we need to do this, and we need to do this. And if we will, as a Bible learner, I guarantee you, there will be significant spiritual impact that's occurring in your life. Will you join in? Non-Bible reader, Bible reader, Bible reader, today, a Bible student. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, for those that have just been putting off receiving you, I pray even as they think about the Holy Spirit and what that brings to the table, as well as forgiveness and relationship with God that moves from being broken to restored, that they'll just stop putting it off and open themselves up to you. Just acknowledging they need you, and as best they know how, receiving you. For all of us that have, we just thank you for the Bible. What you're going to do in our lives, what you can do, but what you're going to do in our lives, if we'll open it, pick up a pen, and let you do, and let you accomplish what it is that you have and want for us. That's our prayer. If it's your prayer, then acknowledge that to God. Wherever you're at in life, however old you are, to today, committing or recommitting, God, I'm going to listen to you as you speak to me through your word that is alive. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen.